are excused. So, call the, are you ready?
Yes.
Sure.
There was all this commotion in there.
I know, I stuck my toe.
So we'll call the meeting to order. Citizens comments. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next, approval of the minutes. Hopefully everybody received a copy. Any questions or comments?
Move to approve.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. We do have a special guest today, Peter.
Yep.
Maybe if we can take a few minutes, I think Al is going to do a brief introduction.
Okay.
Then we'll go around the room and just introduce, make sure you know who's here and what our roles are.
So Peter Herrod with the Department of Administration is with us today. Peter has been going through and been canvassing all counties around the state and getting some ideas as far as the way the makeup the boards are, some of the plans that they have initiated, some of the future plans that they may have, and just basically some of the functions that the land councils have. And it was just an odd coincidence that we actually had a meeting here at the same time that he asked to come in and just talk to us. So it was kind of great that we have this, everybody together here. Peter's able to be a part of it.
Great.
And we should both learn from one another. As far as a bio, he's a shy guy. He didn't send much at all. That's all I got to say.
He's going to say he's not going to get a word in edgewise with our group, is that it?
No. He's been the grant administrator for the Wisconsin Land Information Program and the comprehensive planning grant program since 2006. Until 2011, his main emphasis was on the comprehensive planning grant program, and that took up the majority of his time. And he has a master's degree in urban and regional planning from UW-Madison. That's it. I mean, gosh, you have a lot more than that, Peter. I know that, but very short.
Very good. Well, Peter, thanks for joining us.
And thank you.
Nice to meet you. Maybe Terry, we'll start with you. Just kind of go around.
Sure. Terry Jacobson, I'm the county treasurer.
Mike Vachelli, application services manager with IT.
Marty Laycock, I'm the CIO plus the chairman of the Land Information Council.
Gil Ben, Kenosha County Emergency Management.
Joellen Storrs, Register of Deeds. And okay. We receive our redaction report
That's
every
right.
year. Hopefully, be very happy
the
to tell you what's
revenue
completed
checks
next
as well.
Year.
Not hopefully. It will be.
It will be, Mike says.
Take that. Al Brockmeyer, Director of Land Information, I think.
Yeah.
Andy Buehler, Director of Planning and Development.
I'm Connie Rinaldi. I'm the accountant for information technology.
Okay.
And Peggy Bull, High School Property Lister and Land Information.
So a little change in our committee right now. We've got, since Joe Lynn left, it takes both Connie and Peggy to fill her shoes.
But, yeah.
Thank you both for joining us and helping get the meeting set up and preparing. So appreciate it. Welcome. So with that, Peter, do you have any comments, or do you want to just get into some updates? Or
I'll just have a little talk that I go through. So I guess I'll just jump into that if you're ready. So as Al said, I'm the grant administrator for the Wisconsin Land Information Program. So I'm trying to attend Land Information Council meetings in all 72 counties. So I'm somewhere about 60 counties in, I think. So shouldn't say that because my talk should be a little more polished. It has evolved as because I've been doing these meetings since last June, and the topics kind of change and the grant program planning has progressed. So my discussions have progressed. But one of my main reasons, as Al said, is to learn more about county land records modernization programs by attending the Land Information Council meetings. So it's not just for me to talk to you, it's for me just to kind of observe, listen in on the discussion items and matters of business that you're addressing. And I take back this information and it makes us a little more informed in Madison when we're talking about the grant program. It is particularly important to, at this juncture for the Wisconsin Land Information Program, because you're probably aware there were some major changes made in the last state biannual budget. Act 20 of 2013 changed the program in a few different significant ways. One, it included a directive for the Department Administration to create a statewide digital parcel map based on local parcel data sets. Secondly, it directed counties to coordinate their parcel mapping with the state. Third, it provided more revenue to DOA to award more grants to counties for land information, particularly for parcel mapping. So I'll talk about all three of those today quickly. I'll run through them and be plenty of time for question and answer. So before I get to the grants, talk about the parcel map initiative. As I said, this was included in the last governor's budget and approved by the legislature. So this is a priority project for our division, department administration, and state government. And the idea here is not to replace what counties are doing in terms of land records modernization and parcel map maintenance and everything that goes with that, as you know, and it integrates a lot of different county offices. Instead, we want to add value to what counties are doing by aggregating the county data sets into a statewide database parcel mapping. And this is actually already done by a number of state agency offices. They request county parcel information in addition to other GIS information. And, you know, they have need for it beyond just the county's boundaries. So they're stitching it together with other county data sets and various state agencies. And we want to reduce a lot of that duplication by creating a better, a more complete, comprehensive product for all the state agencies to use, as well as some private sector businesses. And we are very aware of the state agency needs and kind of familiar with the private sector needs. Particularly, we're aware of state agency needs because they were inventoried about 5 years ago as to possible uses for statewide there. And we know that, you know, it enhances DAC caps, for instance, farmland preservation program, its animal disease outbreak response planning, DNRs, managed forest land program, as in addition to some of its other applications, such as water viewer. Also, the, let's see, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation has a business site locator tool for businesses looking to locate or relocate in Wisconsin. Public Service Commission has a map of broadband services. So the idea here isn't that DOA is going to take over all these programs and do all their mapping for them. Rather, this creates a better base layer product to be integrated into those applications. So instead of DNR staff time, DAC cap staff time, PSC staff time going into requesting data, stitching it together, frees up their time to improve upon these apps. And it also has better baseline information. For instance, for the hunting website for managed forest lands, I don't know if there are any in Kenosha County.
One tree.
It's right out there.
I always laugh when my fellow county judges talk about managed forests. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I pay it out of my back pocket. It's such a pain in my butt for so little money. But
there, I guess, I don't know if it just pertains to forests. Maybe there are public easements for
there are some in Kenosha County. Yeah. There are a few.
So, you know, people, the issue and complaints have been, you probably saw this in Journal Sentinel a couple years ago, that state gives tax breaks for people to hunt on private lands, but then nobody knows where those are. Mm-hmm. And so once the Journal Sentinel embarrassed the state by showing that they could put together a map, Salson and the state said, well, maybe we should figure out how to do a better job. And part of doing an even better job than they're doing now would be done with better information on where those grounds are, better, more accurate parcel lines, and hopefully one day, you know, the area within each parcel that's open to hunt public hunting. But it starts with a better base layer of statewide parcel mapping. And that's just one example. The most important for me is the land information programs need to better prioritize grant funding into the future. So in order to do that for parcel mapping, we have to know where the state's at as a whole, where each county is at compared to the state as a whole, and better analyze, you know, where the improvements are needed most. And in order to do that, we have to have a statewide layer. We have to have analysis of each county data set compared to the, you know, how the state is as a whole in terms of parcel mapping progress. Now, Kenosha County is doing a lot better than some other counties. You guys got complete parcel fabric. Your remonumentation is in maintenance mode, meaning all the corners and
except for that one,
corners have been surveyed, although in NAD 27, but that's another issue.
A discussion for another day.
A discussion for another day, right. So, you know, the need is most urgent in some other counties of the state where there are big gaps, holes in their parcel map, where their parcel lines are hundreds of feet off. However, this doesn't mean that Kenosha County would not be eligible for some of this grant funding, which I'll get to in a little bit. And the idea here is that we don't just do one and done, that we're gonna, it's gonna be a, our approach is to incrementally improve upon a statewide parcel layer. So each year we'll refine the process, improve the product, and we hope to progress into other layers. So such as address point mapping, you know, the product, floodplain mapping from LIDAR, you know, aerial imagery program perhaps. Now, none of these are, you know, very well defined. These are all possibilities, but we want to get parcels right, which is in some ways the hardest because parcel lines are always changing as there are splits and joins, and as you guys know, ownership.
We love splits and combinations.
Right. So so no, if we get this right, I feel like we can accomplish any of the other ones. And it's also of the most interest because it describes, you know, the ownership characteristics of land, which is, you know, paramount to interest in land. And there are, you know, at least $460 billion in privately held real estate taxable properties in Wisconsin, in addition to tens of billions in private or publicly held. So it's important that there's good information on this this market in order for it to be an efficient market, as any realtor would tell you. So I guess progress we've made in the last year, a couple of years since Act 20 was passed, July 1st, 2013. One, we did a pilot project with some federal funding for the Public Service Commission's broadband map. We put together statewide parcel layers, address point layers for the broadband program at PSC. And we put together this final report, and it has the statewide address point and parcel layers here, so it's maybe not a big deal on paper, but it is kind of a big deal to have all this information together, which required participation by all 72 counties. So it set a great precedent in terms of county data sharing with the state. I'll pass this around. And you can see these gray spots on the parcel layer.
Those are the gaps.
Those are the gaps. Not in Kenosha County, but some other counties. And so there were some doubters that, you know, the counties wouldn't share their data with the state, or some counties wouldn't, and that there would be, we couldn't put this together because some counties would hold out for, because they had, you know, for instance, data sharing agreements we couldn't sign, or exorbitant costs, what have you. But I guess we proved them wrong because all 72 counties did share their data and participate, so we're very happy by that precedent set with this project. We also put together a little observational report card that we sent to each county land information officer. I'm not sure how helpful that was, but according to that report card, Kenosha County's address points and parcels were in really good shape. So you got, especially for your address point layer, you got 100% in the top level, score 3. So it's a good job there. So hopefully that feedback was helpful. So I guess moving on, we finished that last fall with the help of the State Cartographer's Office, and because that was a successful project, we moved on to our Act 20 parcel mapping project with the State Cartographer's Office, and that office is really key to the success of this initiative. And now we're more than halfway through the version 1 of the Act 20 parcel map, which will be online by the end of July. And that version is not just for the Public Service Commission, it's for all state agencies to use. It won't be perfect. So as I said, we're working towards incrementally improving, but it'll be one step closer to where we want to be by 2017, which is kind of the time frame we're working with. So moving on to that, with that 2017 date in mind, so to the aspect of coordinating county parcel mapping with the state, there's a requirement in Act 20 that counties post certain parcel information online in a standard format, searchable format, to be determined by the Department of Administration. And it lists specific, the specific types of information or parcel attributes that include ones that are commonly on county websites, such as Kenosha County's. It's property tax assessment data, property address, acreage information, and zoning. So the key here, though, is a standard searchable format. And the way we want to assist counties to meet this statutory requirement is by putting the the searchable format in the statewide layer. So if counties share their data for this project, which are, you know, required to do anyway, we'll standardize that information in a searchable format in statewide layer. We'll also publish that searchable format. So if counties, you know, really wanted to change their website and to accommodate that searchable format, they could, but they could meet the statutory requirement through participating in the statewide parcel map initiative.
I don't think you're going to hear any arguments here on sharing the data. I think the bigger frustration has often been how many times and in how many formats we have to share the data with the state. And we give it to you, and the DOT wants it slightly different, and DOR wants something slightly different, and DNR wants something completely different. And so I love the idea of giving it to you, and how about you give it to all of them?
That's the idea.
All right. I like
so,
that. Sorry.
We have been meeting with DOR, and I was in a meeting with Al with DOR about this issue. DOR is kind of the hardest one because of their XML format that not all counties can meet. I know that you guys were a pilot county and helping them develop that. So that's good. So you guys have a leg up on some of the other counties. We also have, you know, talked to DNR, DATCAP, DOT about what their needs are for parcel mapping. So we put together, beyond the Act 20 attributes, an attribute set that would meet all their needs that we know are commonly held by counties. So we want to address that, because what's the point of doing this if all the other state agencies are going to continue in their own silos doing the same thing?
Right.
So that's really what we want to accomplish with this project. So I'll move on to the grants. So one purpose of this project is to determine grant funding priorities. And I guess I should mention that beyond grants specific to parcel mapping, the Act 20 also directed DOA to increase training education grants from $300 to $1,000 per year. So it's not big money, but that's maybe noticeable for Al and some other people in this, you know, county staff to do some additional training or go to additional conference. Secondly, base budget funding was increased, so some of the other counties should thank Kenosha County, because some of that money that, you know, you sent to the state, the $7 from each $30 register of deeds fee, helps reduce the disparities in land records modernization throughout the state. So some of the counties that really struggled to have a website to make progress in their PLSS remonumentation and their parcel map development.
So that the whole $7 is now all in one pool?
Yep. So you don't have to separate it out. So.
Right. We don't separate it when we send it to you, but I was just wondering if the state was combining it or...
Yep. It's all in one fund since Act 20, 2013. It goes into Land Information Fund, and it's a segregated appropriation now. Mm-hmm. So one issue...
I thought the $5 was going for the statewide map, and the $2 was going to stay for the other grant money, but it's actually being combined.
It's combined, and the justification for that additional $5 to be go to the State Land Information Fund was partially for the parcel map initiative. But there's also included with Act 20, 2013, was a directive to raise the threshold for base budget grant funding. So previously it had been $50,000, now it's $100,000, meaning if a county retains less than $100,000, it's eligible for a grant to bring it up to the $100,000 level. So if
Joe, how much do we get?
So you guys get minus, you know, $114,000, yeah. Retained $214,000 less.
Last year.
You're right, in 2013, 2014 is probably pretty similar. But that does, you know, without that grant, a lot of counties such as Florence or Menominee or, you know, Crawford would basically have no programs.
Right.
They'd just be, you know, instead of little gray spots, they'd be, the whole county would be gray. But it's dependent on collecting that portion of the fee from other counties, such as, you know, the counties in the sewer pack area that help fund some of those grants. But because of the extra $5, we'll be collecting additional 250% more revenue, because before it was $2 per document, now it's $7. There are roughly 1 million documents recorded per year in Wisconsin. So that corresponds to $7 million.
Before
it was $2, and even when it was at $2, it would often be lapsed to cover state budget deficits. So
right.
Don't see any lapses in the future. Now it's not
Is there anything in the budget to guard against that?
There's specific statutory language, but there, unless you have a constitutional amendment like they did for the transportation fund.
Otherwise, they can change anything they want.
Right. there's ways, there's overriding authority that it's possible, but this administration's policy has not, it's been not to raid segregated funds. And so it just sets a higher bar than before. Not to say it's impossible to take fund money from the appropriation, but you know, there's this is the governor's parcel initiative. It's been consistent communication from the administration that would want to fund this. So I just don't see that happening. So if you have $7 million, and unfortunately it's a little below seven the last couple of years because there's been less than a million documents recorded, so we're below the historic average, as you probably all know. And it was down 25% statewide from fiscal year 2013-2014.
Yeah, last year was bad.
Yeah, really big dip. It's rebounding a little bit, but not back to the historic norm. And it's certainly not back to levels of selling 2003.
Oh, God.
That's never coming back. Or if it does, you know there's going to be something bad.
We're going to have problems again in the future.
Right. So we don't want that, those sort of up and downs. But the base budget training education, that's roughly $3 million. So we've collected a little more than $6 million in revenue. So that leaves significant amount of money for additional grants. And we have another type of grant we can award called Strategic Initiative Grant. And strategic means that it's for a specific purpose. So it's not just, you know, here's some money, do whatever you want with it. So the purpose would be for improving parcel mapping, because the statewide parcel map is only as good as the local data sets from which it is built. And the way we're prioritizing this funding is not by dividing up the money unevenly. Rather, we want to make each county eligible for a $50,000 grant in order to address a number of priorities. One, we don't want to punish counties for previous progress, because a lot of counties put county levy money into, for instance, remonumentation, and to bring in their GIS up to speed 10 years ago. And so we want to keep those counties still eligible. We also, you know, a desire from counties such as Kenosha County, Washington County, other counties in this area and other areas of the state, such as Brown County, was to see some hard dollars coming back for that extra five that's going to the state. And so we want to address that principle as well. There are a lot of other, you know, variables you could use, such as number of taxable parcels, progress, you know, deficiencies, land area. If you maybe put those all in a hat and shook them up, you'd probably come out to, you know, about an even amount for each county. So that's the route we've taken, is straight $50,000 eligibility for each county, which statewide that's 72 times 50,000 is 3.6 million. So that really takes up about all of the remaining funding. So of the funding that comes into the state, we project that at least 90% will come back to the counties in the form of grants, and one of these grants be strategic initiative. However, the strategic part is that we want to prioritize how the counties spend this money, and we want to do that to achieve statewide objectives and define those in the terms of benchmarks for achievement for each county. And so what we've come up with what we're working on is a list of benchmarks and priority, listed in priority. So, you know, if you benchmark one, for example, would be the ability for each county to submit a parcel data set to the state that has all the attributes we need and is complete for our version 2 Act 20 parcel map. And I don't expect that this would be difficult for Kenosha County to meet. And it's basically, if you can meet DOR standard, you can meet that standard, except that DOR doesn't have the estimated fair market value in their XML format, which is unfortunate. I think they're going to change that for tax roll 2016, but not 2015, which will be. So I don't know how that oversight came about, but we're working to address that.
Sorry, Peter.
Go ahead.
So there's grant money that is available for that we apply for?
Yep. So Right, so it'd be $50,000 beginning in 2016. I should back up and just do the overview. The requirements for this, for these grants, will be determined in the grant application, which will release by October 1st. I'll just pass it on. This document that kind of summarizes everything I said. And the requirements will be in the form of benchmarks for achievement. And if you can walk through those benchmarks and the confidence that you know, we've achieved each of these or will achieve them in short order without using the full $50,000, you'd be able to use the $50,000 for other land information priorities. So that could be the case for Kenosha County because you got full remonumentation, you got a complete parcel fabric, you're meeting DOR's XML format standards. It's because all this work you've put into the program in previous years, you may be able to meet all the benchmarks off the bat without having to spend much of this $50,000 on meeting them. So we're currently finalizing these benchmarks recommendations. We're going to put out a report that proposes what the benchmark should be June 30th. And then we're going to allow for a period for stakeholder review comment on those recommended benchmarks. So, you know, we'll publicize this widely so that, you know, the Register of Deeds, Land Information Officers, Real Property Investors, those organizations can all look at these and see if they, you know, make sense for the state's needs and for local business needs. And then, you know, DOA will take all that input, the recommendations that State Cartographer's Office has helped put together with us in the version one project, and also the stakeholder comments, and then decide, you know, the final benchmarks that will be included in the grant applications. You know, it'll be in the form more or less of a checklist, a detailed checklist. So you'll be getting that by October 1st, and then you'll have a good sense of how you can apply that money. And we expect to do our version two call for data early January 2016 so that we get your latest and greatest tax roll data from 2015.
So just to understand, so once that benchmarks are made for that $50,000, it's up to the county? There's no other encumbrances on that money? It can be spent as the county sees fit?
For land information.
For land information.
Right.
Land records modernization.
Land records modernization. So likely applied to other foundational elements, you know, whether it be aerial imagery, LIDAR, address points, land use mapping. There's a long list of land information categories you can work on.
Peter, does it have to meet the land information modernization plan that we have?
So, be in our plan?
Right. Yeah. All funding, whether it's retained fee or grant funding, has to be consistent with your plan.
Yeah. I think we have a long wish
list. That plan.
I'm like, we have a fairly long wish list, but I think we've accomplished some of them. So,
I'm looking for the agenda. So, I don't know if you have land information. Nope. So, I'll quickly, without taking in much more of your time, land information plan updates. Mm-hmm. So we worked with a work group of land information officers, including Al, and so I should also mention that land information officers also wear other hats, such as mm-hmm. property lister, you know, register of deeds, surveyors. So we got a diverse array of representation when we developed these plans, developed the instructions for the plan updates. Gets to be a lot of jargon. and we put out draft instructions for comment. Didn't get a ton of comments, which is good because that means hopefully we did a good job if people...
Or people didn't read it.
Either or. That's why we had a work group, so we counted on them to read through it. And we'll be finalizing instructions early June. And then we'll ask counties to update their land information plans by the end of the year. Now, Act 20 did change the planning requirement a little bit. It made it so that the plans are a 3-year time frame instead of 5, which implies a little more strategic in nature. And it also codified DOA's role in updating plan instructions. So we want the counties to create draft updates by the end of the year, and then we'll have a review and approval and finalization process the first quarter of 2016. So I suspect that your plans were getting kind of old anyway, because last updates for 2010, your five-year plans. So there's, hopefully you can go through and check off all the
things we did,
objective accomplished here and there, and then move on to the next set. So I guess that's about it for me. I don't know if you have any other questions.
You know, Peter, you can take as much time as you want. I think this is interesting and valuable information. So
thank you.
Don't feel as though you need to cut it short or whatever.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I just saw that some of the items overlap with other agenda items
that you have.
Al is going to address. So,
rather you address me. Nobody wants to hear from me.
Oh, come on, Al. So I'm curious how all of your other visits have gone. Because it was funny last year for our June conference for the county treasurers, how many county treasurers in the room did not know and had never been to a land information council meeting.
Oh, okay. That's interesting, because by statute
they have to.
They have,
and mostly they were the newer ones, and so people just never included them.
Yep. Yeah, it is interesting how each county kind of functions differently. So I know a lot of counties, so this land information council requirement came into effect 2010 with the flat fee change to the registered deeds recording fee. But I know a lot of counties have land records committees, councils, or some other name for basically the same thing, basically the same makeup. But some other counties didn't, and I think some of those are, you know, less functional. Or I think the land information officer, land information office benefits from, you know, getting together and hearing what each department office stakeholder, you know, has to say and how they benefit from the program or how they could benefit. But I do notice that it's really different style in each county, that some it's really informal, only a handful of people show up and it's really an informal conversation. Others it's very formal. There's, you know, county boardroom, 12 people around the table, strict Robert rule of order. And so it's interesting to see that. And I think that for some of them, they've only like met once or twice in the past, and we've made a requirement that for grant eligibility, you gotta meet at least once a year. But I noticed that my visit was like the first meeting of that year. Probably won't happen until I visit again.
Again?
So I tell them, you gotta do it in order to be eligible for the grant. So that's interesting, but it seems like most of them are, it's a collegial environment. You know, some of them don't see that reason to meet because they're, you know, their offices are next to each other. They're discussing things every day. That's the way it should be. But I think it's still important to, you know, just as with the land information plan, to have things down on paper. So there's level of transparency and accountability, and there's a formal opportunity for everybody to state, you know, what their interests are.
Well, I think we had, for, I don't know, when did CALM start?
Way.
In the 90s?
Way back.
and so we had a Kenosha Area Land Management committee that was pretty much this minus like you and the two
Our
public
age.
People, the oh. public person in the county. But we always had IT and we always had ROD and land information and treasurer, but we had county clerk and planning because county clerk does the tax deed, the end of the tax deed process. Yeah. So they're involved in some of those sorts of issues. So we had them involved. And so when the statute changed and we were meeting and trying to discuss the makeup of this committee, when I was talking to the county exec, I'm like, I can't believe they made this council and they didn't include IT when it's a land records modernization program. Right. I'm like, how is there no seat required by statute for somebody that's supposed to be doing the actual modernization part? And so, so that seems strange to me. But I thought the benefit of this versus the informal discussions we all have on a regular basis was the inclusion of outside people, of the real estate person and of the county board member. I thought that was an interesting inclusion in it. But
yeah, I think that's important, is the county board participation and awareness. And in some counties, you have four county board members show up for that meeting. And that's surprising. I think it's good. But sometimes this stuff goes way under the radar of the county board, and they don't, frankly, you know, understand what it is. And then if they don't understand what it is, they don't understand why it's needed.
I think this is probably one of the first meetings Joe hasn't been to. He's right. Our realtor person, and normally he's here, and he's always been.
Closings at the end of the month.
Yeah, that's true. It's the end of the month. It's because it's the end of the month, probably. But he's been so, his give back has been so interesting on how he sees the information that we have and how he uses it. So I think that's useful.
I just want to point out, I appreciate the level of detail in the expenditure reporting, because it, you know, it really gives a good guide to what the county has done in the last year. Well, this one's for the year of 2013. We'll be receiving shortly the one for 2014. But I think it really documents everything the county accomplishes with the, you know, the land information funding. So it's good, because if you don't document it, it's, you know, it's easy to cut. But there's a number of things that it show the county's, you know, very progressive, and is really trying to work with state agencies to, you know, create better systems statewide, such as, you know, you work with the Department of Revenue. So.
Thank you.
Next.
Peter almost all here, I tell you.
Oh, and I stole one, so I was hurt.
So the next thing that I had on here was the April 9th meeting that we had with the Department of Administration, Department of Revenue, and the State Cartographer's Office. And those individuals showed up. It was kind of called by Claude Lois, who's the Division Administrator for the State and Local Financing for the Department of Revenue. And what that was all about was, Peter had mentioned it, it was trying to standardize some of the information that we give to the Department of Revenue, and that being assessment information, name information, district information, a lot of that. And I, as Peter mentioned, I'm happy to say, too, with the help of IT, Kenosha County was a pilot project for this. We started it, and now there are like 23 counties that are on it. We're moving to a new format, GCS, and GCS, so one of the requirements is that they meet the standards of the state.
And since they have 30-some counties, it should help.
Right. That's really an exciting thing to do, and I mean, we've worked very well with the Department of Revenue, and well, Department of Administration's in on now, and the State Cartographer's Office, and this is a one-stop shop kind of thing, too. So that, as Peter had mentioned before, too, all the state agencies can get together and kind of say, these are our needs, they can be standardized, and put in something that everybody can use instead of us trying to shoot something to the Department of Administration, Department of Transportation, and things like that. That meeting I have down here, some of the accomplishments that it had was that they had a timetable for delivery of information. One of the things was, of course, the equalized values. That was one of the big issues that came up. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, when is that best time for that? And it's like, well, there's only one time.
There can be only one. It's at the tax bill.
They also had the need for standardizing a lot of the information, so that we need to have a standard format, standard information. All counties can kind of give it to the Department of Revenue, Department of Administration, you know, however that is developed in a standardized format. One of the other things out of that meeting came the creation, or was the objectives of Peter already went through a lot. The one of the largest objectives, of course, is the statewide parcel mapping. We've provided information to the Department of Revenue and also to the State Cartographer's Office in order to help develop this parcel mapping application. So we've been there. We've kind of met some of the requirements that are needed, and they're on their way now with the information from Kenosha County. The other objectives that are in Act 20, we basically have those out there already. A lot of them have to do with putting information out on the internet and having that available for public access. One of the things that a lot of counties don't have that, you know, thanks to Andy here, we do have is county zoning information as well. So that's one of the requirements, is to have county zoning information. And, you know, we're working with the rest of the county and hopefully the city.
Someday.
And we're getting all the zoning information for the entire county, and we'll be able to start providing that to Department of Administration and the State Cartographer's Office at a date when they need it. I guess that's all I have for that meeting. If there's any other questions, just shoot.
I guess I'll just make a couple comments.
Right ahead, please.
Okay. With the zoning, so we'll be requesting that at the same time we request all the information in January 2016. Okay. That way we'll just be requesting it in terms of the overlay numbers use.
Are you thinking January or perhaps February?
So I guess we'll make the request in January, but we might give counties up till March.
Okay, because normally we have to give the DOR a file that has all the lottery information, and it takes us until after the beginning of February to get all of it from all the municipalities, from all the changes they make.
Oh, I see.
So that's required to be in by like March 1st or something like that. So if it can meet that timeline, that way we can just push one file with everything in it.
So getting to that one-stop shop concept, so that's the end vision. I think, though, in the next couple of years, we'll still be asking for the information separate from DOR, because one, they don't ask for parcel or polygons. They don't ask for the GIS layer,
right.
And that's pretty critical to creating a map. So they just ask for the tabular data in XML. And then they're missing, you know, a couple of attributes that we want, such as...
So eventually we want to have it all in one file, right. And you guys parse your own stuff.
Right, right. And then also, you know, there's just some logistical issues of DOR being able to share that information with other state agencies.
Because their system sucks.
The rate of participation they got. They got 23 counties, and it seems like it's just always... Last couple of years, it's just around the bend to getting all 72 counties. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll get there, and we hope that we're working with them to help advance their goals by making our requests compatible with theirs. So if a county is getting money to get its data into shape to meet our request, they're also, you know, at the same time working to meet DOR standard. So we have the same goals, and we're going to, you know, merge that and come together at some point in the future, but it...
If you make it March 1st, that way it'll help that coming together.
Right, right. So we'll allow for the same time frame as they have. Also, I was just going to ask, so I noticed a number of counties are switching from AS400 to GCS. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know who, you know, what's wrong with AS400, but it seems to be a common transition.
It's just the old system, and it's not being supported.
It's a little more difficult for disaster recovery, those type of things. Mm-hmm. You know, today's technology under Windows and virtualization gives us a lot more flexibility as far as where we put the information and recover it. From a cost perspective, it's more costly to maintain. A number of years ago, we identified the Windows platform as our strategic hardware platform that we would be using. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do a lot of investments into the AS400. And, you know, the technology is definitely...
It's harder to find AS400 programmers.
Right, right. It's not as current as what we would like if that was a long-term platform. So we thought that as we were looking at GCS or alternatives for... New World, you know, this was a big check for the positive for GCS that they're Windows-based and were able to do more things with them. So.
We are making them change lots of things, which is like Dodge and Ocano and all those are kind of riding on our coattails a little bit because we had some stricter requirements because of what we're coming from, that it at least be as good as what we left. Mm-hmm. And which is saying something because what we left is 20 years old, and so Ocano and Dodge are excited about things like having the building information available at the county level and online, because I think we're the only county that has that information.
Yeah, I noticed you have that detailed real estate information on your website where you have the number of bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure the realtors appreciate that.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's one of the things that Joe often says that he loves the most is having that.
It actually helps us too with rental weatherization. See how old when properties are. Built.
Yeah.
It's interesting though with GCS, one of the things I think they are getting a real learning process about an urban area because they talk about everything in 40s. Going in Kenosha.
Yeah, about that.
Where do we have 40s?
I'm like, who's got 40s?
Not too many of those kind of things. So I think it's we are kind of doing a little bit of groundbreaking for them, and as Terry said, a lot of other counties are jumping on what we were able to provide and say we want these kind of functions, and building information is one of those that is Kenosha County only because of what we had with countywide assessing, but I can see that being a huge asset to other counties in the future and also to the state.
Well, and another change that we're having GCS make is the ability to flag properties in different ways. And for example, floodplain properties, so that we'll have all of the properties that are in the 100-year floodplain for Andy in their flag, so I can run reports against floodplain properties or contaminated properties, the ones that are on the BERTS list for DNR, that we can have flags for everybody, every parcel that is on that list, so we can run reports against contaminated or potentially contaminated properties, you know, things like that. So that was another big change I think we had GCS make, was the inclusion of those sorts of flags that you can run reports against, because it's useful. And it's something that I think a lot of the other counties will find useful. They just...
Well, and that's information that people come to our office then to try to find out when you're doing research on land. So if you have a leaking underground storage tank, if it used to be a garbage site, if it's in the floodplain, that's very important for them, and then that'll be flagged.
And that's where we're doing a lot of applications too. We're kind of focusing in on certain areas and certain kinds of different kinds of like floodplain or something for growth. So we're developing these apps. In fact, planning will be starting to develop their own apps, and it's kind of focuses in on those specific areas, so that there'll be somebody be able to just pull up everything they want in just that category, instead of going through a huge listing of everything that, you know, they can pull from.
Sure. So yeah, it seems to be the direction of design.
I'm sorry, you were going to say something. Peter.
I guess my only comment would be, so I surveyed, including Kenosha County, and the cost for meeting DORs XML format. And it was probably a little hard for Kenosha because you guys are pilot, but it seems like maybe partially because you guys did this piloting work with GCS, that now they are not charging counties additional costs for meeting the DORs XML format. So for a lot of the, you know, the 49 other counties that don't have XML format, costs really shouldn't be a barrier for most of them, because most of them have GCS transcendent. These software providers that aren't charging, they're just absorbing it into the course of business as a responsibility without additional costs. So one complaint has been about the cost associated, but I don't really find that to be true when having
served
in 23 counties.
When I've talked to DOR about some of their problems and their desire for countywide assessing and whatnot, part of the reason that we have some of the information that we have and we have some of the relationships we have on the zoning requirements and stuff like that is because we came from countywide assessing, because we were the only county that had countywide assessing. And so that's why we had building information when we stopped countywide assessing, because we used to be the assessor. So we had all that data and we didn't want to let it go. And so we have that relationship back and forth, and we have fewer assessors than most counties do.
And then, you know, there's the idea of countywide assessing is a good idea, but I think maybe if we to take another plan and to take the information that assessors need and put it on maybe a platform for the county, the assessors could directly access that information there, and that way we'd have again all the assessors putting information in one spot.
Like a market drive or something like that.
Drive. And then from that one spot, it could be distributed to the state. So that's just a thought I had, you know, and just maybe want to bring that forward. And that would be a countywide assessing system more than anything else.
And it would still allow for that local control.
Right, it still would allow control.
That has been the biggest hang-up. And if we're allowed to use funds to either create or buy a market drive or something like that, that will help with some of that backlash that they got when they threw it at the budget. No. As far
as cost and stuff.
Not gonna lie.
That was
I talked to Lois about that for a long. I'm like, what were you thinking?
But I was thinking it'd be nice.
Yeah. I was thinking you were being unrealistic if you thought that was gonna fly.
Got stripped out pretty quick.
It was funny when we were doing our legislative meetings at the beginning of March. We sat there and they're like, gotten more phone calls on countywide assessing than anything else in the budget. I was like, oh, okay, so we're good? All right. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay.
So DOR said this or the legislators?
All the legislators are like, got more phone calls on that than anything else. But that was in early March, so I'm sure they got more later on other things. But But I think there's some usefulness there of creating coordinated systems and having like the GCS thing happen for us. It's an ongoing change, but because we did require so many updates for them, it's a gradual process, I think. Mm-hmm. But one that other counties are looking forward to having.
Yeah, before you go on, I just wanted to backtrack just a little bit on the zoning.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to kind of get clear, so one of the requirements is to have zoning on the website, correct? By state, just the benchmarks?
Right. One of the benchmarks? Well, I guess, no, the benchmark can be met, and we'll be detailing this in a report that comes out June 30th by providing the zoning information to us. So. And I guess it'll be different from the other parcel information because we'll accept the layers rather than having it as tabular information associated with each parcel. So if you have a...
Oh, because there are so many multiple...
Right, so there are special district, there are special purpose zoning types such as, you know, I mean, like airport zoning, floodplain zoning, farmland preservation zoning. In addition to general county zoning, and it's limited to just county information, zoning information maintained by the county. So, in that way, it's realtors would complain it's inadequate because most of the zoning regulations in Wisconsin are municipally administered. but that's the way the statute's written. So we're not asking counties to provide information they don't have. Most counties don't maintain municipal zoning information.
Is there what I was getting into on some of this was there anything that would be of help from the state level being asked to the county that we could then say, look, we want your zoning city because of the state wants this information. Mm-hmm. If there was something that would come
down. To be the carrot to make them give us the data.
You know, that would come down that we could maybe use to help guide them, right?
Well, we just take out the word county and we say zoning information.
Uh-huh. That's what I guess I was looking for.
The state wants zoning information. You can send it separately or you can give it to us and then we'll send it for the whole county.
I'm not sure. So right now we're just focused on county zoning.
So for the towns.
So for the towns, right, unincorporated areas. So perhaps we try to expand that in the future, but right now the statute doesn't require counties to handle municipal zoning.
And I think we're well on our way. You know, we've been working with a lot of the agencies, and we've been working with them too, as far as the villages and getting us zoning information that we should be able to put out to provide the state. Mm-hmm. And the city is probably about the only one that.
Yeah,
they're going to be the holdout.
Yep. If there was something that would show that there's some impetus behind my request, rather
because we've been able to have them be more prompt in their delivery of other information, building information, and things like that by saying, okay, the state requires this information to be sent to you to them. Mm-hmm. You can either send it by yourself, or you can give it to us, and we'll send it with everyone else's.
Right.
And so instead of building a platform for them to be able to send it to the state, they just give it to us sooner than they normally would have given it. So it's often helpful to have that sort of impetus when dealing with cities. So that's maybe a sewer pack problem, because they're used to a certain level of independence, and especially the larger cities.
So I guess they each maintain their own county city websites with their zoning information displayed.
No. They only like for here it's just a map.
They have a map.
They don't have any interactive zoning.
Yeah, there's no.
Right.
It's just a PDF.
So if I understand this right, if I pulled up a parcel in the city, it wouldn't indicate how it's zoned like it is I do in summer.
Because we don't have the information.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's what we've been trying to kind of work for a long time.
Just like. Tax bills. If you go on the city, on the county website, you'll see everybody's original tax bills for the last, you know, 5 years out there, except for the city of Kenosha, because they don't give us that information.
So what's the opinion? Is it because they don't have the resources or the time to do it, or they don't have the type of data you need?
I would say
nobody wants to.
I'm going to go with municipal will. Does that sound nicely?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Okay.
They've got it on their website. They want you to go to their website and look at it.
Not the zoning, but...
Got the tax bills.
Tax bills. Now, this is the first year they've had them.
Is it?
Yeah. And they're going to give it to us, apparently. We'll see. I'll believe it when I see them.
Well, we do have that direct line in, though, from our office. We've got a link into the city tax bills for our title searchers. Mm-hmm. But that just lets us in to look up information.
So if somebody's looking at a property and wants to see, you know, assessed value, estimated fair market value, all that information, they look at the county website, and they also want to know how it's zoned.
Well, they want to know how it's zoned, or if they want to know if the taxes are paid in my
on the county version. Website, what they can get, they can't get the original tax bill. They can get the assessed value.
Yeah. Right.
They can get the taxes.
Yeah.
But not the fair market value, because they don't send that to us for the city. For everyone else, we can give everything. But
right.
What we do all the city assessing changes. So we actually create the assessment rule for the city. Okay. So as far as any of the changes that occur, any of the assessed values that come in, anything like that, you know, we're supplying them with the rule to start off with, mm-hmm. and then they supply us back with the
changes.
Values. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically it. So we're kind of
always a little bit.
Yeah, we do have the entire county as far as a lot of the parcel information is concerned, but tax billing.
But they're not required to give us that information electronically. Mm-hmm. They're not required to give us fair market value electronically.
Sure.
So they can get by that by sending us a paper tax roll that has the assessed value, and they don't even send that. They send a PDF now, mm-hmm. and something I can't get the data off of. So it's like,
But take, for instance, maybe Kenosha, the city of Kenosha is too complex, but say one that is otherwise integrated, such as, I don't know, Village of Bristol. So in order for somebody to, so they can look at all the tax assessment data, in order to look at the zoning, they got to go leave the county website, go to the Village website.
No, Village now, we have them. They participate with us.
Oh, okay.
The only one, the city, is the only one that doesn't
have their zoning information integrated.
On our, yeah.
Oh, so I think that's pretty progressive for, I don't know of other counties that have that level of detail, because you guys have to have, I don't know, how many incorporated municipalities do you have?
12. So 13 if you count Genoa City, but I don't count them. Let's call it 12. I don't count the, what is it, four parcels in Genoa City? No, they split. It's four.
It's four now.
Yeah, it's four now.
So 11.
But still two voters.
Yeah, still two voters, and we all know how they vote. They're Republican, FYI.
11 out of 12. No wonder. There's zoning information integrated into the county land information system, and it's displayed on the county website.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I guess some of the zoning is coming.
Yeah, some of the zoning is
in progress.
It is. We're going to get Pleasant Prairie.
Yeah, they're the most recent one.
Yeah.
But by the end of the year, we'll have all the bills.
Except the city.
Except for the city.
Oh.
So. Now we have.
Any help on your end?
Yeah. To get the city would be grand, because then we'd have everything. The city's like this big hole in a lot of our information. So
it would seem encouragement from the state might be a moving force.
Well, we like that carrot at the end.
Yeah. The only thing that you can correct me on this is that a lot of the zoning codes are different for the villages than they are for the county. I mean, you have different kinds of codes.
Right.
So that's one of the big problems that's going to come, is you're going to find the Village of Bristol coding is different than what the county has, is different than what Pleasant Prairie has.
Mm-hmm.
So be one of the issues that really does come up.
It's there.
Fortunately, they're very similar.
They're similar, so.
Yeah, except for like Paddock Lake, Silver Lake, and Twin Lakes.
Because they've been around for so long as a village.
Pleasant Prairie, Bristol, and Summers
were all towns.
The county.
Yeah, they were all towns that were on the county system.
Yeah, it's kind of like addressing is, and villages are a little different.
Twin Lake, Silver Lake, and Paddock Lake have been villages forever.
Yeah, they have goofy zoning.
So I guess I didn't notice the zoning when I looked at the parcel viewer, but is it on a different?
There's a layer for zoning, and also some of the zoning stuff shows up on the other website.
Interactive mapping.
Interactive mapping. Did you go to interactive mapping or the?
And it will show up when you click on a parcel. It brings up a window mm-hmm. of the parcel with the zoning, and then there's a line that says zoning, and it'll tell you.
Okay.
As well as, you know, sanitation.
Districts. The other cool thing about the website, I don't know if you tried to do this, but you can buffer. So you can create Excel spreadsheets based on a buffer around a point on the map. So like if you were, you know, creating something on this parcel here, you can buffer out for, you know, 2,000 feet or whatever and collect all of the information on all the parcels within a 2,000-foot radius and create an Excel spreadsheet you can then upload and do, you know, a mailing to all those people or whatever you want to do.
That's pretty neat. Didn't notice that.
that's another one that the realtor people kind of like, and municipal people.
I guess another one we're going to try to put into an app in order to say, you know what, if you want to take a look at some of the zoning information in, you know, whatever, Paris, or you want to see it in Pleasant Prairie or stuff like that, there might be a specific app that's just for that area. So that's one of the things that realtors want, is a specific map so they can look at just that kind of feature.
Another thing we're making GCS do that the realtors and the title company people like is apparently Kenosha County is the only one that puts the ag use conversion charges. When you convert formerly agricultural land to something else, there's that conversion charge that's a lien against the property, but it doesn't show up on the tax bill until, let's say I get it in May, it doesn't show up until December. Mm-hmm. If they haven't paid it, then it goes on the tax bill, but it's still a lien on the property for those months. Mm-hmm. And nobody else has it online except for us. So title searchers have to literally go to every county treasurer and ask them if there's an ag conversion charge on a property and those things, if they want to. Otherwise, there's potentially a multi-$1,000 lien that they're unaware of on the property.
That they could be on the hook for.
That they could be on the hook for, because it doesn't clear up unless it's paid. So
the seller would notify them of that.
They're supposed to statutorily.
And this is going a step further what we're looking into right now. That's our end in our office is, when you're on the mapping, is that you can actually then get the information in the code. Mm-hmm. So there's a direct correlation to the map and the code. Mm-hmm. So people see, R5, okay, what does that mean?
Well, right.
They'll click on it and it'll bring it right up and it'll tell them all the requirements, their setbacks, and things like that.
Yeah, we have a toggle that goes in between the interactive mapping and basically our tax side where all the mortgage companies search, that you can toggle in between the two. So if you're searching on the tax side and got the tax bill, but you want to go in and see what the neighbor's tax bill is, it's easier. You just toggle the interactive mapping and then you can ID the parcels next to it, and then you can toggle back into the tax one, so you can go back and forth. But it doesn't have, it's not too exhaustive for people who really just want their tax bill. Right. There's not an overload of information that way, so we've kind of gone the toggle back and forth. At one point, the toggle only worked one way, but now it works both ways.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. State Land Council. Back in February, the idea came about that there ought to be maybe a land council. It was created by the Wisconsin Counties Association. They were the ones who recommended it. And one of the things that was kind of proposed is saying, well, we have different kinds of areas of government and private sectors that have different needs, and maybe if we brought that to the Department of Administration, they might be able to look at some of these things and might be able to take it forward one more step. And as an advisory capacity, that could be somewhere they look for statewide initiatives in order to distribute some funds in order to help everybody in the state rather than just trying to, you know, focus in on just certain areas. That was started in February. I know that we had a meeting on the 16th. Of course, Peter was there, and Mr. Ed Eberle, who's the administrator of intergovernment relations for the Department of Administration, he was there. I guess this idea is a very good idea. Everybody wants to kind of move forward with it. It seems like it's something that would benefit a lot of different areas. We're talking about the private sector as well as the public sector. Right now, there is a draft that has kind of come together. In it, it's going to be a 12-member panel. There's five representatives from the private sector, and from the public sector, there's five representatives. Right now, they have included on there is a land information officer, county surveyor, registrar of deeds, property lister, and public safety or emergency communication representative. There's also a representative from the state or federal government, the state cartographer, and the geographic information officer, who is brand new. And his name is Jim...
Gugliariano. I'm not sure. I think the second G silent.
Okay. And he will be the one who's more or less the liaison between this council and between the department administration. So he'll be talking to a lot of groups, registered deeds, treasurers, the whole works, getting ideas through this council that he might be able to bring forward to the department administration that they might be able to create statewide projects for. So this is moving forward. I think that this last draft that came through looks pretty good. Some of the responsibilities, I just want to go through those real quickly. Continues to be to advise on WLIP grant funding, recommend strategic initiatives, evaluate efficiency of initiatives,
assist the DOA in obtaining funding to implement statewide land record modernization, maybe federal funding if that's available. Recommend coordination of modernization of land records and recommend statutory changes in land records modernization projects. So it has a wide range of duties that they're looking to try to accomplish, and I think it's a very good and moving forward with it, and it looks like it could actually occur. And I think it's a very positive thing. Let's see, where are we from there? I think that's all I really have on that. Peter, if you got anything else you want to mention on it?
I think it's moving forward, and I know at our earlier division administrator had talked to the secretary's office about it, so I expect that it'll get finalized in the next few weeks.
Okay, from there we go to the strategic grants. I think, Peter, you've just nailed just about everything with those strategic grants. Just one of the things that I kind of want to put out there, we at the WLIA meeting, I had an opportunity to meet with the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning LIOs, and we actually discussed talking to Sewer PAC and changing from NAD 27 to NAD 83. And there's supposed to be a meeting that's going to be occurring at Sewer PAC where we're going to have this discussion. And I think Dr. Bauer
was on
board with it.
I was going to say, was Dr. Bauer there? That was going to be my question.
Is it scheduled yet?
It hasn't been scheduled, no. It was, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Have you met Dr. Bauer?
But it is the plan.
Milwaukee County meeting.
Yeah, you definitely star that one. So that's one of the things that did come up, and especially when the strategic grants came up or the initiative, statewide initiatives.
Yeah.
We know that monumentation is a huge initiative, but then you say, well, what's in it? I hate to say this. What's in it for us?
Yeah.
You know, but when we look at doing that change from NAD 27 to 83, that would affect the state, including the Southeast District as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to explain me what
you're probably not going to care what the difference is. You're not going to care what the difference between the two is, but it is a conversion.
Is it a different ellipsoid that's used?
Yeah, you're not going to care.
Find out what
let's just say there's a different standard, and they want us to go to that standard instead of the one we're on. Yeah.
Clearly, if it's about ellipsoids.
I'm like, Dr. Bauer, don't you remember, like, was it the last meeting or the one before Dr. Bauer went on a monumentation and everything, lecture for, like, at least 20 minutes. I was just like,
and the need for paper.
Yeah, yeah, see, yeah, yeah. That was the discussion. Yes.
Marty, is that like, for instance, the when we had to do our updates to our floodplain
map,
we had to do it in 87. Because that's what the state, that's what the federal
government requires.
Okay.
But we had to reconvert it back because we're still using 1927.
Okay.
Okay, so it
we're on a different standard versus them.
It's the entire state and federal government and everybody in the world uses 83. Except for this little area of the world.
Okay. And that's what makes it different, because then there's a correction. And every time you get data, you have to correct it by like
whatever it is,
3 or something like that.
Okay.
So it's a minor thing, but you might as well standardize it for the state. You know,
what the heck is ellipsoid?
It's kind of think about a rotation.
If you think about
the
globe,
and
draw like a line around the globe.
Yeah,
that's it.
Kind of like that. That's basically it. Yeah.
See, I told you you weren't gonna really get it.
We do a lot in IT.
Ellipsoid, not so much.
Okay, thank you.
Your data doesn't follow ellipsoid lines for the broadband project?
I think we probably tackle the next one, too, the interactive mapping. I know that that's the one where we need to exchange information. They're kind of the key. Once we start getting their information, then we can get a lot of the information from Paddock Lakes, so Twin Lakes, the villages, except for the city. And I'll get all that information in, and we'll have that all on our website. Mm-hmm. Get that. So, and that can probably be information we'd have to talk to Pleasant Prairie. That could be sent to the state. Pleasant Prairie is, some people are a little bit tight about their information. And I don't think that
there would be a problem with that. But we want to make sure that everybody's on board and everybody understands that that information can be applied to the state as well. Think there's going to be an issue with that? Or no, I neither do I. But just put it out there. So I think that's it, unless you've got something you want to put out there for the interactive mapping. Okay. Okay. I don't know if Silver Lake has their own. Talk to them. So.
They have it in what format, I have
okay.
no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think they would be cooperative.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
From there, I want to go on to the aerial photo project.
Woo-woo. When do we see them?
We got them.
Well, I know.
We actually have the first...
Leaves are on now. I hope you have them.
We actually have the first version of it. It came, I want to say, maybe 2 weeks ago. And we had Scott in our office start going through it and checking it to see what the accuracy was and how the images were. Obliques look great.
Okay.
Everything east of the interstate looks fantastic.
Awesome.
West of the interstate, there is an issue, I think.
What is the issue?
Well, there's still some snow cover.
Because we had that late snow?
On north-facing slopes, there's some snow that exists on those areas. And there's also ice on the lakes. So, we're going to have some kind of issue. We're going to have to...
That's going
to
look weird.
I talked to Park Council yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said to them, what can we do about this? We have some information here that we don't believe is meeting our standards. And they said, we'll start a conversation, write a letter, get it to whoever.
The contract's with,
the contractor. Say, you know what? Most of the information is good. It looks like you've done a great job, but we have some issues in certain areas. This happened...
Are they going to freak out about doing another pass?
Well, that's the question. This happened once before with a different company in Washington County, and what they did was they were able to get them to do another flyover the following year. So that's what we're hoping to do, the same thing with the western half of the county, is say, you know what? This is not meeting our standards. It's still not bad. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
we're not talking about huge snowbanks.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking about little lines of snow some places.
But it when you're looking at it...
Yeah, it's going to look a little strange.
Yeah.
Especially, it's in the Randall and Wheatland area. So, we're talking western and more than anything else. But to have ice on the lake, it's not too cool either.
Why is that? Because you can't tell that it's water as easily?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd like to see what the shoreline is.
Where the shoreline is, and you can when there's no ice on the lake.
Right. So that's one of the issues that did come up. So other than that, though, the oblique aspect of it, the 3-inch pixels that we have, it is fantastic.
I can't wait to see. Do we get a day where we get to play with the oblique thing? Because I want to see that.
I believe so.
Okay.
One of the things that is really fantastic about this is we're moving to a new 911 system, and the pictometry, the company that we went with, actually is a partner with New World System, who is developing their application for 911.
Awesome.
So, we're going to be able to tie all this together, and it could be a real awesome product. Let's put it that way. So
what's the overall timeline?
Well, we received the first batch here. To kind of go view it. The next, for the orthophotography, which is the straight down shots, and also the obliques, the obliques should come through, I think, the middle of June. We should have all that information for that, and also the kind of finalized version of the orthophotos, and the orthophotos will be finalized totally by August. So totally rectified the whole works by August. So we're looking at a very short period of time, we're going to have all that mapping information out there as far as the aerials are concerned.
So September, it should be available and loaded into
Yeah,
that. If you think about how much change has happened along the I-94 corridor there.
Yeah.
It's so, the 5 years ago pictures are so old at this point.
It would be neat to use that map over feature.
Uh-huh, yeah. You flip in between. Did you do that on the website? You could go back to, what is it, the 20s? How far back was it? It was a long time ago.
26,
30. 37. You could go all the way back and see the change in that area from all the aerial photos. Especially, anywhere from, Green Bay Road west. It's amazing, the difference.
It's just one of the applications that we actually have out there for the public to use, and it's really pretty cool. It's pretty
Yeah, safe. I've used that in other kinds, but it is pretty... It's fun to look at.
Yeah, it really is.
Hey, Al, that definition along the shoreline kind of concerns me a little bit on the western lakes. I know in law enforcement it's been issues for trespassing, not just trespassing, but other issues regarding land use, and we need to go in there and figure out just where is that line, who has that property. Do you think they'd be open to maybe a commitment to do another flyover next spring?
Well, that's
and
what,
just capture that?
That's what we need to do. And if we can get some kind of feedback from your office saying, you know what, that's going to affect 911 as well.
So
the more
can you send
we
something?
Have, as Case, yeah, Case is saying, you know what, this is something that's very important. We need to have this. We need to have this, like, you know, clean.
Yeah.
So there's no ice on it because of these kind of reasons. Then we have some ammunition to go back and say, we need this flyover for next year. You need to redo it. I don't think there's going to be a problem with this company. They're huge. Yeah. They're absolutely gigantic. And I really don't think that, you know, taking a little portion and flying it over is going to be that big of an issue. There'll be some kind of...
I would think that to make a customer happy for a little bit of work...
Oh, I agree.
They would probably...
Especially a customer like Kenosha, where they're breaking in to Wisconsin. They have Milwaukee was the first one that did it. Now we're doing it. And if they can just start putting their foot in the door, then they can start, you know.
Well, plus we have the 3-inch. We have we picked them up for the obliques and the ortho.
Right.
Come on, throw us a bone.
Right. Right. So anyways, that's where we are with the your aerial photos. And like I said, I'm going to be writing a letter. Maybe I'll just include.
See, I think the aerial photos is where that whole statewide mapping thing is going to be a hot mess.
Oh.
Because you have like a Kenosha County with 3-inch, and then you've got everybody else in southeastern, what, 6-inch? In southeast.
Yeah, 6-inch.
And then you get outside of that, then it starts...
12.
12.
The 12-inch. So the definition is so varied between the two. Even when I look from when we used to have 6-inch to 3-inch, you could see such a difference in...
Yeah,
it's more important by us, I think, because of,
well,
like, the cities
urban,
and... Yeah.
Areas.
But...
I think, you know, one of the other things, too, is if it becomes a statewide initiative, there's going to be something saying, well, we want 6-inch for the entire state. Well...
We already have 3-inch. We don't want to go backwards.
Three, so
yeah.
That's one of those kind of issues where you're going to say, okay, that's fine, you can do 6-inch.
Or you
just need
a minimum
amount of
six.
Funds to cover it, to go to that 3-inch model. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that needs to be kind of thought about.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. It's going to be complicated.
Yeah.
Very.
Yep.
There's ways, though, I think they've talked about, you know, having a state-based and then local counties to buy out. So if the state covered the cost of the 6-inch, and then the county could cover the marginal cost of 3-inch.
Sure, I could see that happening like that.
Yeah, there was significant rationale going to 3-inch and spending the extra money back in 2010 because it actually was going to save us money by being able to view things that we normally couldn't, but we had to rely on cadastral information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so much more useful at 3-inch than it was.
And going to the oblique photos is really going to help, especially law enforcement and things like that as well.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the cities do 3-inch. I know the city of Two Rivers got 3-inch and ways up the coast from you, and they're notoriously frugal, so it must have made some, like,
it makes a huge difference.
Very much so. Very much so. Okay, 911, is that where we're at here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 911. We've been able to give all the attribute information to a New World system, which is a new system that's being implemented for 911. From what I understand, everything is going very, very smoothly with that. New World Systems asked for some additional information, which is kind of unusual. But
which ones?
Yeah, they asked for speed limits.
That's interesting.
They wanted to know what the speed limits were along all the roads. And I'm thinking to myself,
I don't think we have that, do we?
No, we actually went out. There's a website that defines each municipality where they have their speed limits at. But I know that the guys went out and verified the stuff for the county to make absolutely sure they knew where it was. And the reason they're doing this is in order for emergency services, for fire and for police, in order to identify the best routes to go.
Oh, the fastest route to get to a place?
It's not only, you know, the route that you have saying is the shortest point between here and here. It's the shortest point between here and here.
That will take the least amount of time.
Has the fastest speed limits and has the least amount of traffic that's associated with it.
Interesting.
So I thought that was a very interesting.
I thought they just put the lights and sirens on.
I thought that's why I pulled over.
You'd be hard going through S curves going 3 miles an hour.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We'd up at the shoreline of the
lake. You'd be taking a close-up visit to the lake.
How are you going to go about getting the speed limit information?
Believe it or not, it's on the website. As far as you know, you can go through what they have as far as their ordinances are concerned. Okay. And you can find out where they are, and that's what was done for the majority of it. But for the county, we wanted to make absolutely sure that we were dead on as far as what happened. And the problem that occurs is a lot of ordinances are never updated either.
Right.
So you got changes that do occur, and nobody really knows what the changes are. So you really need to go out and inspect those in order to find out.
You'd have to hit each local individual ordinance for each village,
exactly.
And then the county ordinances, and they specify, but it's a lot of digging and work.
Yeah, we've done it. That's exactly what's happened.
You would think that all of those like GPS people, because have that in there, because my GPS tells me what the speed limit is on that road, so they have to get that information from somewhere. You know what I mean? It's like
okay. Another one thing that 911 is asking for is address points beyond the county. So this is going to kind of break into what the state has as well. But the rationale for this is going into Illinois. So I think that if you have address points that actually go into Illinois as well, if there is a fire that exists or that comes somewhere along that line or in, you can find those areas or there might be a cooperative agreement.
Like Antioch.
Like Antioch or something like that. Who's got the closest access to those points and can work together in order to resolve that issue the fastest. So that's one of the deals.
There's another, I think this was discussed in one of our governance meetings, that if there is a pursuit that takes someone outside of the county, if we don't have that some type of GIS information, dispatch can help as far as landmarks, where they're at, what roads
they're
going
to lose them.
Yep. So it's very beneficial from that perspective. So I think we're looking for counties in Illinois, Walworth, Racine, those type of communities. So we have that information.
We've already put out a request to receive their information, so it looks like it. And we have a good working relationship with everybody, even Illinois.
I'm surprised.
That looks like it
looks like they just have no money.
Anyway, so I shouldn't say anything about that.
The other things, as far as GIS applications and projects that we have, oh my God. I mean, there are a ton of them. I mean, just for public ones, we have some aging, we have disability, Western County transportation things that we just put out there showing where disabled individuals are, routes they need to take in order to pick up these individuals, what kind of problem they may have, kind of issues they may have, if it's just a wheelchair kind of issue or something like that. Evasive species, soils, bike trails, assisted living, healthcare, schools. We've done stuff for CABA, flood stage maps. I mean, you start naming and we've got so many projects and so many applications, and these are focused applications again that only handle certain topics instead of going through the big ones. This is exploding. And I mean, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if we could get health on, this would be absolutely huge. But that's one of our biggest problems right now is trying to.
Well, health is getting a new system.
There.
So
that might be really nice.
There's hope for the future.
Could do that.
It's not quite as bad as multiple addresses on a parcel. You don't have to wait quite that long.
Yeah,
I don't
hopefully
think.
Not. I waited 10 years for that. Well, I won't go there. That's a button. A lot of the maps, hard maps that we've been doing as well. Summers Incorporation, provided zillions of maps for them. DA maps, Wi-Fi maps. I don't know if you guys want to go into that at all and want to talk about Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, our little half a dozen people who tried out the Wi-Fi this weekend.
Sure, Peter might be coming.
Oh, have you heard about that?
No.
The county is providing Wi-Fi for basically the lakefront outdoor, so that anybody who's outside doing stuff can.
Sure.
So it's an open design for open air. So we're going from Kemper Center, which is to the south, all the way up to Carthage College. So it's about a 3.5 mile stretch. So we're
up
putting,
to about here.
So we're putting in access points in different areas, and This past weekend, we started with the Civic Center Park right in front. So it's branded as DKI, which is Downtown Kenosha Inc. Wi-Fi. So the whole intent is for promote economic development, education, public safety, those type of things.
Tourism.
So, tourism, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're very anxious. So hopefully by the end of the summer, it will be all rolled out and should be very good.
So that's going to be a countywide system too, you're saying, right? Eventually?
We are going to hit some of the parks. Okay. So our first look is at Pets.
That's the easiest one.
Yep. So we've got fiber there, which makes it easy. And, we'll start.
We have kids. We years ago had a fiber project for the county that I don't know if you're aware of at all, to have fiber lines available throughout Kenosha County.
Oh.
So.
Right. Dark fiber project. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that system won't be able to handle the 4th of July when everybody's on a device.
No.
Not designed for that. And it also shuts you down if you try to, watch a movie.
Right. It's not intended for streaming video and those type of things. It's
for finding information.
Basic information.
It's really intended, I'm in downtown Kenosha. What's happening?
What's going on?
What are the events? What are the restaurants doing?
Mm-hmm. What time is the museum open?
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll have the ability to, in the future, get the businesses more engaged and have them do push notifications. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking past
Sazzy Bees,
you'll get notification saying, hey, we've got
Ed Duty's. Ed Duty's playing at Martini Bee and Sazzy Bees tonight. So you'll go, all right, let's go. I don't need that. It'll be fine. I know.
Was there any feedback from the Carthage over there as far as their students liking it? Or
It's not there yet.
Yeah, no. It's only down here right now. So.
So for Carthage, Carthage is planning their own internal mm-hmm. Wi-Fi system. The focus of this is really the athletic fields for visitors.
And the beach that's right next door.
Yes, yeah. And the bike path. Mm-hmm. So that's our area of focus. We'll let them do up by the halls and get their 10,000 kids connected.
All on everything, yeah.
So each one of them streaming a movie.
Yes, or five. As the case may be.
Yeah, I don't need to go into more maps because there's zillions of maps that we've distributed for all different kinds of things. There's been some data exchanges that we've done with the state, and I just went just a few of those, of course, with the Department of Revenue, with the State Cartographer's Office. We've also given information to UW-Madison Library System, UW-Milwaukee Library System, and just a host of other private sectors and public sectors as well. That's kind of it for that. The Village of Summers.
Is the bane of my existence? What?
Summers became a village in April. We received a new code yesterday for a 3-digit code for Village of Summers.
Which is?
82.
I'm so surprised. Is it 82 and 83?
No, it's 182 is the 3-digit.
Oh, the 3-digit code.
And
then,
okay. Yeah, it'd be 82 and 83.
Before the parcel numbers.
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's what I figured. Yeah.
We'll be able to transfer all that information over and create new new village numbers and new town numbers. That will be changed back next year, probably. But anyhow, that's what's going on with that. So we'll be able to start changing over new numbers. You want that information?
We're gonna change the town numbers?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Town will stay the same.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. The village numbers will change.
Yeah.
I was just seeing more work for Dave, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to give him as much as possible. He's bored over there. I know.
Don't make him retire any sooner than he already is. We have to get through the conversion first. I told him it's illegal.
Did he commit to stick through?
I told him it was... He left me. I told him it's... I said, it's illegal for you to retire before we're done with this. He loves how I make things illegal.
There's nothing else. That's it for me. I think maybe GCS, you can probably cover more than I could if you want.
Sure.
Well, go ahead.
We're converting. We're doing data conversion to the new system. And then we're working on some things in tandem with that. Like Carly has been going through the BRIT site and IDing parcel numbers for all of the Kenosha County BRIT sites. And so she's I think, gotten as far as we're going to be able to get. There are a few of them on there that I honestly don't think are really in Kenosha County by the description of them, because she can't find them and I can't think of where they are either. I'll send the list over to you and you guys can try to look. But I think there's a few that it's like, yeah, that's not here. I think that in their search for Kenosha County, they grouped in some other parcels that are really in Walworth or Racine or something like that, because that address does not exist here. So she's been going through and IDing those, so we're ready to load that into the GCS system when we get those going. Donna already has finished her bankruptcy list of all of the parcels that we have in bankruptcy, so we can load those in to be flagged when we get to that point. And now we're really checking data. Mm-hmm. We've had a few quirks. GCS wasn't handling credits the same way that our system was holding credits. Somebody who in our system was paid in full showed to still be owing $800 there. So then we had to figure out how to change the data the way we gave it to them, because they don't deal with negatives. They do deal with all positive numbers. So it was a negative in our system, so it went to subtract a negative number, which means it added it. So that's a problem. And then we got that figured out and got those all worked out. And then we moved on to the exciting town of Paris, which is always different and special because they pay that portion of the county levy for their taxpayers. They pay 80% of the county levy for their taxpayers. So they have a special credit on there that there was no place to put it really in GCS. So then they had to figure that out. That was the next thing. And then building information they're working on.
Building information came yesterday. Also, they're working with Dodge County to put a connection to Trident. It'll be interesting.
It's really dull.
So we'll see how that works out. In the property information, I don't know if we found some glitches in the property information.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a process. That's why we have all this time to go and look at stuff.
And what we're doing is, from Terry's advice, is a 6-month period of time where we're going to be doing dual entry into both systems in order to make sure it works.
So running parallel.
Yeah, running parallel systems, and then run tax bills to make sure everything goes okay.
Everything matches up. So we don't have the problem Racine County did, because I don't want that. But
so I guess that's it. I don't know if you have any more else you want to put in there. Mike? GCS?
No, I think you guys covered where we're heading on it. Okay. It's a lot of work to get the conversion right, and a lot of testing that will need to be done. Mm-hmm. But I think we're on a good track, and stuff we're seeing, that we're playing with is looking good.
We did have I was going to mention, we had an initial little meeting with the city where we went over to see the city's current tax system, which was interesting. If for no other doubt, just to give you an idea how things are out with the city, while both the treasurer and the assessor were very excited to have us over there, they were scared that they would get in trouble with the city administrator for having county people in the building. So
they're not kidding.
So we met in Mike Higgins' office, which is a little more closed off than Deb's office, and then we ran things, and I asked them kind of what they liked about their current tax and assessing systems and what things they didn't like about it, and that gave us an opportunity to start talking about some of the bonuses of GCS and if they chose to go on the same tax system the rest of the county is going to be on, what benefits they would see in the settlement process. And so the next step is, once we have data in and stuff for them to come, is for them to come by us and kind of see the actual system and what the information would look like, so that potentially we could be on one system and not have all the drama we currently have.
So do you think that this would be something to entertain for 2016?
That's my hope, yes.
Okay.
Because I think once we have stuff for them to look at, then we have to work through their process of getting them over. But I'm thinking that would be a hopeful 2016 thing.
Okay. When's the mayoral election, 2016?
2016.
That will be interesting.
Yes, spring of 2016. So. We'll see how that goes. I think that could be very helpful. And if we can get him on board. I honestly think that, you know, Mike, who will be retired soon anyway, but or Pete, you know, or Deb from the treasurer's office, I don't think they're going to be the problem.
Right.
So it's really going to be a matter of trying to answer. In order for us just to go and look at their system, I literally had to tell them, I'm like, listen, you're not buying anything. You're not committing to anything by us exchanging this information. Right. We're just exchanging information at this point, you know. So, yeah. Well, I think
very good. Kudos to you to get that set up.
It's always interesting, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So, but yeah, Bob came with. That was his. I think that was his first city experience over there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it was all right.
I know. I just think it's really important, even if it's little gestures. Just when I walked over there, just putting a face to a new person, there's been movement. And I've seen it, and we have to foster that.
Yeah.
Whenever any small thing we're working on, we have to keep fostering that relationship. I think it's going to build.
Well, and Mike Higgins and I and the treasurer and I have always had a great relationship, and we always say that it just gets screwed up if we have to... If we have to include anyone else in the conversation, you know, it's like, that's where it goes to pot. It's like, that doesn't even make sense. Your argument does not even make sense. I'm like, this is what we need to do. This is the most efficient way to do it. Let's do this.
Walls fall with little crumbles.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good thing to have that positive relationship back and forth, and hopefully it'll increase the ability to change. I mean, Al, you've been able to get so much more information from... Well, Mike
actually hired me, so we had a great relationship.
Yeah,
way back, too far back.
Yeah, so it's when things outside of those offices get included that I think it becomes a hot mess. But
it becomes much more political.
Yeah,
instead of logical.
Exactly right. So,
okay,
I'm trying to put out our hands on a few other things the treasurer's office is doing to some of those political forces. And hopes that that will buy us some goodwill for other things. So,
you know, too, I do think that even though met with some initial resistance on the Wi-Fi project, the city has been very cooperative and very helpful. And Sean and I were walking around looking at some different places for access points, and the mayor happened to walk by. So, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, we're looking at access points. He goes, oh, whatever we can do to help, you know, let me know if you're not getting the support you need. We want to get this done. So it was very nice to get those type of comments. So it'd be nice if we could keep
fostering that.
Yep. Yes. Getting things like zoning and, you know, those little pieces that would be beneficial to the greater good. It'd be very nice.
Yep.
And often, as what Terry is sharing, it's the staff people that we work well with.
Yeah.
That's not the problem.
That's not the problem. Debbie said when I asked her about getting the tax bill data, now that they finally have the tax bills on their website, I said, so about that, what would a girl have to do to get that information transferred to the city? She's like, well, I'll just tell Teague to put it in the file, and we'll see if anybody says anything. I said, that sounds good to me. Let's do that.
Like, so quiet. Just put
it
in there.
Add it in the file you send us during August anyway. Just put it in there. It'll be fine. And so that's what we're doing, because otherwise it'll probably be a big blowout crazy thing. So, yeah.
Now, if we give you this, what are you going to give us?
Yeah, it becomes that, yeah.
Okay. Joellen? Updated.
All right. Yeah.
ROD stuff.
I'm happy to report that all of our back scanning is completed and enhanced and
burned
to IT for the next step of what we're going to do with it. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now, what they gave us was not indexed in a format.
No, it's not indexed. But the images are enhanced, and they're ready for the next. They're working on the final stage of indexing and then that. But also, some of those images need to be sent to extract for redaction.
The images have already been sent.
Those from that last batch, because I know we sent the ones from 2013, the microfilm that we scanned was sent.
Right. No, the stuff we got from US Imaging has as well, too.
The recent drive that I gave to Bob, that's been sent to extract also. Okay, so then we should have a final redacted product Do you have any idea?
End of July, I think, was, or mid-July is where we were shooting.
That's pretty good.
Say end of July, that's safer.
July.
Yeah, that's good. So that's good news. It's very good news. So then the final phase is getting everything indexed so we can upload it into the system, and they're working on that simultaneously. So hopefully by the end of the year, this project will be complete.
Yeah, I would say by August we should have everything uploaded in. I wouldn't see why not.
I think we have asked for an updated timeline from Extract as far as all the different pieces that they're working on to make sure that everything is right. And so Bob should be getting that to us shortly.
Well, Bob has, what I've got from Bob is the indexing portion of the project will be completed by US Imaging. July 31st is their estimated date to finish the indexing. So then if we have the images back from Extract, we would be able to upload everything.
Yeah. Shouldn't, and we already have a process in place for showing those redacted images in Trimen, so it'd be just a matter of once we have it, you know, coinciding that index with the image and uploading it into LaserFuge.
Right.
And once it's in there, it's available, so.
Yeah. Okay.
We did just upgrade our support contract with Trimen.
Yes. Yeah. I told that at our last call meeting. Yeah. That's good.
Do you feel special? Is there a diamond level?
That only took a year. And I'm not saying that was your year. That was their year.
Allows us to move forward with some other things like this.
Right. The Tomcat. Do we know when that's going to be?
We reach out to Trimen to start getting dates on it. But
I think June 6th, I heard there.
Yeah, I thought we had
some testing. So it's right around the corner.
Good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Very good. Thanks for the update.
I have one more thing if I can just make a mention.
You've exhausted your time.
Sorry. No, I want to make sure to thank Dr. Bauer for all the work that SewerPAC has done in order to do surveys for the area around here. And for KCAB, he also did ones for the Zanani building and some other out by for the Brookside area. And his staff did a fantastic job, and it's really going to be beneficial to the county.
Very good.
Okay.
Is he on the phone?
No. It's record.
Any new business to discuss? Anybody have any additional items? So I didn't understand a lot of this conversation. But a couple of takeaways that I kind of gleaned from this is, we want to stay on top of this grant opportunity, and Al, kind of look to you to make sure that we get all the right information and we're taking the right steps on that. And it sounds like we need to start talking and working towards upgrading our land information modernization plan.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which I think we talked about last meeting.
Right. Yep. So, and we haven't
done anything.
Progress too much.
We generally count on the land information officer to begin that process.
So I think you see everything he's done.
Hey, before we had this and we had to pass this through Calm, he always started it anyways. Actually, George started it back then. But
so that's, you know, that's something that's on our plate that later this year we need to really spend some time. Mm-hmm. Probably have some additional meetings to go through.
I think last time we had a few meetings. We had like the initial meeting where we went over the old plan, and then that started our minds a-going of what to add and what to kind
of
change.
Some of the strategic
initiatives. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
We also need to get Peter's benchmarks as far as what he's got listed or he's going to have listed.
Right.
You know, things that need to be required first.
Oh, yep. Thank you.
With that, anything else? We have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter, for coming and informing us.
Thank you.
It was good to see you.
Good to see you.